Welcome to From Caving In to Crushing It, the podcast for those who find themselves immersed in adversity and choose to write their story instead of having others write it for them. I'm Drew Duraney, and I'm your host.
Today's guest is Jeff Griffin. Jeff's mother named him Jeffrey, but his friends call him Griff. He is currently in a wheelchair, but not forever. Griff always dreamt of playing sports on the big stage. As a kid, he envisioned playing college football as a receiver. He was one step closer to fulfilling his dream when a construction accident left him broken and paralyzed from the waist down. His life and dreams were shattered, but not defeated. During those darkened days, he had a decision to make. He could either stay down and quit or get back up and succeed. He chose the latter. Since then, he has played in the 2004 Paralympic Games in Athens, Greece, and is a silver medalist in wheelchair basketball. He is a national champion in the wheelchair NBA and a four-time All-Star MVP. Jeff also won the St. George Marathon, has two Guinness Book of World Records, and wrote an award-winning book titled I'm Possible, Desire, Dream, Do. He earned his master's degree and created a worldwide peer-to-peer leadership program that was recognized at the United Nations. During his spare time, you'll find him mentoring youth, eating pizza, playing games, and exercising. He loves living life with his wife, Emily, and their four beautiful children. Enjoy the show.
Jeff, it's so good to see you, my friend. Brother from another mother. Thank you for coming on, Jeff.
Thank you for having me, Drew. I appreciate this. I always like to say that it's easy to look good on the shoulders of giants. So thank you for letting me sit on your shoulders for a few minutes.
Jeff, you inspire me. Your entire life story inspires me. We've met maybe once or twice. We have Steve Ramona to thank for this introduction. So Steve, thank you so much for introducing Jeff and me to each other. There's a reason why this happened. And Jeff, thanks for coming into my life. And there's a reason why you're on today. And, you know, we talked before I hit the record button about how we're taught when we're young that life is linear. With the best intent, people tell us if we do certain things, life will turn out fine. And we listen because that's what we know. And then things happen. There's an external circumstance that kind of gets in between these straightly aligned letters that derails our life into the circuitous route that it was intended. And we have to make a decision on how we're going to live our life following that defining moment. Many of us don't see these defining moments in life. We live through blind spots our whole lives. And some of us see them and see ourselves as a victim. I call the first one man number one, the one with the blind spots who just lives life blindly. Man number two is the one who takes the victim mindset about life happening to him. You're man number three, Jeff, who had adversity thrown at him and decided not to give up and not to blame. You may have in the beginning as a victim, but somehow, whether it was a tap on the shoulder or the 2x4 upside the head, you said to yourself, Jeff, there's a better way to live. I'm going to do it. I'm taking this on. So if you could reach back as far as you need to, Jeff, for that defining moment that was either the tap on the shoulder or that 2x4, that really caused you to kind of like wake up and decide that there's another better way to live.
Yeah, 100%. Thank you, Drew. And thank you to the listeners who are watching and listening. Their show wouldn't be without them. And this show wouldn't be without you. And so thank you for having me on. There's power in organized effort.
That's true. Very true.
And so if there's power in organized effort, there's weakness in indecision. So thank you for making the decision to do this and having me on. So the great question that you asked me, and there's several pivot points or several hinge points or several, points along this path that, we get to make a decision. We get to choose to do some things. You know, you talked about this tap. And I love the quote from Sir Winston Churchill in 1941, I believe he was talking to a bunch of young boys, and he was saying to every man, there comes that special moment when he is figuratively tapped on the shoulder and offered a special chance unique to him and fitted to his talents. What a tragedy if that moment finds him unprepared or unqualified for the work which would be his finest hour.
Wow. That's powerful. Absolutely powerful.
And so, you know, when the moment to perform has arrived, the moment for preparation has passed. And how many times have we been tapped on the shoulder and we have been unprepared?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, you know, we've been living a lie or been living a life mm-hmm. that was intended for somebody else.
Right.
And there's three specific moments that had a huge impact on my life. But I want to go back to the most current one. And that was, I was 21 years old, had just finished a season of collegiate football. Wow. I was recruited by Lavelle Edwards to go play at BYU as a receiver. That was my dream as a little kid, to go play football down there, because they pumped out All-American quarterbacks, and I was a receiver and I wanted to do that. And what was interesting, Drew, is I told some people my dream when I was a little kid, and like, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do that.
Okay.
And they gave me all the reasons why I couldn't
why
do it.
You like, couldn't
you're too
do
short,
it.
You're too slow, you're too white. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll take them all. But what's interesting is I didn't understand at that young moment that we as individuals, we reject what we don't understand, and we base our possibilities on what we know.
Base our possibilities on what we know. True.
And we don't know very much, you know, the future is unknown. And so we can place the unknown in one of two things, doubt or faith. And a lot of us place it in doubt if we're thinking ourselves, but the majority of us don't think. Majority of us are just on autopilot. Majority of us live life in habit. And, but anyway, so that was my dream. And I got to taste the sweetness of success and got to play two downs to see what it'd be like to be on the big stage.
Right.
But here I am in between seasons. I'm on my back next to an unpainted barn in the fields of Napoleon Dynamite country there in Preston, Idaho.
Oh, wow.
Had just fallen 40 feet from some scaffolding. The scaffolding slipped out from underneath me, and I came straight down, and I stuck the landing perfect, straight legged. Legs came up, back came down, L1 vertebrae exploded in my back, leaving me paralyzed from the waist down.
Oh boy, Jeff. Okay.
And so here I am. I'm like, okay, I'm hoping beyond hope that my back's not broken. I'm hoping beyond hope that, you know, as I've gotten stingers before in the past, they come back. And I'm like, I'm hoping beyond hope that we'll come back.
Wow.
But I remember my buddy who was there with me, he recovered from his small little fall. He starts shaking me. He's like, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm like, I don't think you should be doing that. And I remember looking up to my buddy and asking him for the first time, voicing my fears for the first time out loud.
Sure.
Said, Doug, I think I'm paralyzed. Go call the ambulance. The news was confirmed when I got to the hospital. The doctors told me I never walk, never stand, never move my legs again. My identity of being a football player, a collegiate football player, was stripped away and taken.
Just like that. Just like that.
Yeah. And so being able to run, being able to jump, being able to catch, being able to do what I had been dreaming about my whole life had been stripped away, had been taken away. Yeah. And I entered that sauna of self-pity.
Sure, of course.
And I was wallowing around in that syrupy, sticky sauna of self-pity and just having a pity party for myself. I was shaking my fist at God. I was angry at myself for how I put up this scaffolding. And it was everyone's problem but mine.
Yep. Wow. So you're in the hospital bed with wallowing in the self-pity. Jeff, many of us will stay in that the rest of our lives. What got you unstuck?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I was focused on everything that I couldn't do.
Yeah.
Instead of everything that I could do.
Right.
And they stopped feeding me in the hospital. At least in bed. But and so it took me a half an hour to get out of bed with the aid of two nurses. Everything was easy, was tough.
Okay.
And so I'm going to the cafeteria to eat, and I'm rolling down the sterile halls of the hospital, just having, you know, feeling sorry for myself, tears starting to appear on my cheeks.
Yes.
And you know, when you're feeling bad and feeling horrible, you want to be left alone.
Yes.
That's the worst thing that we can do for
Absolutely.
Each other, to leave them alone.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be left alone. I just like, don't mess with me. Don't be with me. And I'm sure my energy was such where it's like, don't even come, across this guy. And so I'm getting my food, putting it on my lap. And I go to the corner of the cafeteria to be left alone, to eat my food. I'm flavoring my food with my tears. And I just want to be left alone in this, you know, this pity party that I'm having. All of a sudden, this tray flops in front of me. And I look up this person. And I'm about to tell this person to go take a hike with language that I'm not going to use with you and your listeners today. And before I could say anything, this gentleman across from me asked me a question that set me free from my prison. Now, what's the irony is the gentleman who was sitting across from me was a prisoner at the point of the mountain. He was lifting weights, had an aneurysm in his brain, paralyzed from the right side of his body, and couldn't speak.
Oh, wow.
So the question that he asked me was changed my life. And so this prisoner asked me a question that set me free from my prison. And I've never been back to that sauna. I haven't gone back. And I've had some bad days. I've had some tough days, but I have never gone back to that depressing, feeling sorry, syrupy, sticky sauna,
right,
self-pity days. And the question that the prisoner asked me was, right, dude? And I'm like, what? He's like, right, kind, dude? And I recognize in his slurred speech the question that changed my life forever.
Was it what? Yeah, go ahead.
The question he asked me was, why are you crying, dude?
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
And instantly, that question just hit me like a heavyweight boxer, just smacked me in the face, and it snapped me out of my pity party. It helped me flip the switch and reframe things and see things of what I could do instead of what I couldn't do. I didn't even recognize the people around me, the world around me. Right next to me down the table was a man who was paralyzed from the neck down. He couldn't even feed himself. He was so fresh that he had a halo screwed to his skull so he couldn't even move his neck. And wow, he had somebody feeding him. He couldn't do anything on his own. But wow, here I am. I can move my hand. I can hug people. I can feed myself. I can do a ton of stuff that this man can't do.
Unbelievable that you were surrounded by individuals. I mean, not that I say that comparison is good, because often we compare ourselves and it's not a good thing to do, but you weren't even aware of your surroundings, of people had it quote unquote worse than you. And that one question, why are you crying, dude, like opened your eyes, right? You had impaired vision, and that one question gave you the 20/20 vision almost.
Oh, it gave me clarity. It gave me clarity, Drew. It gave me so much clarity. And, you know, instead of focusing on what I couldn't do, I started focusing on what I could do. And I'm like, you know what? Right. I can live life that takes my breath away, because most of us are barely breathing and calling it a life.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need to be living a life that takes our breath away. And so I'm just like, boom. I'm like, I just got smacked and exited that sauna of self-pity and started to dream new dreams, started to dream of things that I wanted to do and what I wanted to accomplish and all these other things. And so, you know, one of the dreams that I have is to walk again and to climb mountains and, you know, walk and not faint and run and not be weary and have a full recovery.
Yes.
And I told the doctor my dream, and guess what he did?
Did he not? He told you it wouldn't
be
possible.
Dude, he laughed at me and he gave me all the reasons why I couldn't.
Yeah, he's like, unbelievable.
It's impossible. You can't walk. And he showed a picture of my back and the 4-inch plate that's inside. And I've got this incision from my belly button to my back. And all the evidence is stacked up against me. All the evidence is you know, telling me that the doctor's accurate, but it's contrary to the song that sings inside my soul.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is a shame that these individuals who are in this industry, and I worked in healthcare for 24 years, that part of the training, and it may be now, but part of their medical training has to be a lot of the intestinal fortitude piece, because the black and white stuff, either or, human beings have proven many times that miracles can happen with that intestinal fortitude and belief. So, you know, God bless you for not believing that physician.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was beautiful, because I believe I would have listened to him and believed him if it wasn't for that prisoner.
So that sequence.
As somebody who has nothing to give to society, but that man changed my life forever. And so that was a pivot point in my life, a hinge point where it's like, you know what, it It helped me climb the mountains I climbed. It helped me play on the world stage that I desired to do. It helped me overcome the unsurmountable odds, and it helped me believe in myself and to believe in the power of God that endowed me with this power.
Jeff, I'm inspired, and right now the audience, if they don't know your story, may be thinking you're talking figuratively about mountains and about walking on this big stage and public speaking. I know your story. I would love it if you could share your climbing the mountain and speaking on stages story, because there are somebody out there who needs to hear this, Jeff.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do it quick. I'll do the quick version, the
Yeah,
Reader's
take your
Digest
time.
version.
Take your time, man. This is important.
But as you mentioned, I speak all over the world. That's the opportunity I have, and before I went full time into speaking and transforming lives, I was a banker. That was not very edifying. I did that for 3 years. One of the youngest trust managers there. Then I went into education and was able to transform lives. And there's only like 300 students a year, and did it for 17 years in the high school and collegiate level.
You did.
And in between there, I created a peer-to-peer leadership program for individuals in wheelchairs that we introduced in Kathmandu, Nepal, and been all over the world. And the United Nations has recognized our efforts in helping that world. But and so I get to show up on stage, and I get to roll out on stage and address the elephant in the room, and I let everyone know how good looking I
Yeah, of course. And it's true, folks. It's true.
am. George Clooney right here, he's got nothing on me.
No, he does not.
No, I'm just kidding, but I am in a wheelchair, and people can see that I went from 6'1" to 4'7", and I'm physically paralyzed. I can't hide that. What's interesting, Drew, is most of us, if not all of us, are paralyzed from the demons of doubt, fear, and
Oh, you're
complacency.
telling me. Absolutely. Many of us are paralyzed. You are right.
And there's these dragons that we need to slay, and we just don't know how to do it. And so we all have problems. We all have
Yes, we
problems.
do.
I have problems, you have problems, my problem of being so good looking may not be as bad as I'm just
That's a
kidding.
challenge, man. Your looks, I don't know how you do
I know, I'm telling you. But no, we all have problems. And so what I've learned, Drew, that the problem isn't the problem. We all have them. The problem is you. And the problem is me. And the problem is your listeners. And it's the problem is those who are watching. And I like to let that sit for a second, because when I tell people that the problem is you, they're like, there's a
Yeah,
little bit of
defensive.
pushback. They're like,
Of
well, wait a
course.
minute. No, you're the problem. You're the
Of course.
problem.
Of course.
And it's really not, because every problem under the sun has a solution, or it has none. If there be one, hurry and find it. If there be none, never mind it. And I believe that we focus too much on the problem and not enough on time on the solution.
Solution, right?
And so that's what we do, is we have some solutions. And I believe that there's 3 Ds at the foundation of every problem. Or better said, there's 3 Ds at the foundation of every solution.
Solution.
And so these are the gold nuggets that I share. And it's desire, dream, and do. These are the three
I
Ds
love it.
that I share with everybody. And what I've learned is, with these three foundational gold nuggets, if we can't understand them and apply them in our lives, we're able to step out of our comfort zone, get up out of our chair that we've been sitting in, and we get to go and chase down our dreams. We get to go climb those mountains. We get to orchestrate, conduct the song that sings inside our soul. And at the end of my speech, I get up and walk across the stage, or waddle with some swagger, as I call it, because it's not beautiful.
That's
But
okay.
I was told I'd never walk again, never
There you
stand.
go. There you
And
go.
now I can take some steps. In fact, as you were mentioning, I just took a group of men up the back of my house on to Mount Ben Lomond, which is 9,711 feet.
I love that story.
And we climbed the mountain together, and I took every step to the top. It made it to the top, to the peak, to the summit. And it took all 20 of us to help me get there,
Of course.
but together we made
That's
it.
together you made it. Now, I do have a question, and it's not okay, the physician who told you You couldn't do it. Have you been in touch with him?
Yeah, I've been asked that several times. Like, have you gone back and shown the doctor your improvements? And for me, in my mind, it's a lose-lose situation in my mind. I go and tell him, hey, look, doc, this is the improvement that I've made. This is where I'm at. He's like, yeah, that's why I told you. You know, that's why I told you that. So I motivate you.
Oh, so okay. So that's why you're saying, but you don't know he would say that.
I don't. And on the other token is like, yeah, Griff, I couldn't tell you that because of lawsuits or whatever it is. You know, there could have been some.
Okay. So because in my mind, maybe it's a dream. You would change his thinking that he wouldn't say those words and show the picture and say, you can't do it. There's a way he could reframe his message without worrying about the lawsuit. But because if he continues to say what he said to people who haven't heard that question, why are you crying, dude? They're going to believe him.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I ask, hoping that he wouldn't repeat that to others. So that's why I ask, Jeff.
No, it's a great question. I've had several people ask me that.
Yeah.
And for me, I've made a decision for him.
Yes.
I made a decision for
him. I get it.
Based off of conversations that we've had before.
He
left three clamps inside me. My mom pointed it out, like, what are those three things? He's alive, isn't he? and so there was
oh,
zero,
I see.
There was
lot.
Zero
Nothing
accountability
there.
Or
Nothing
zero
there.
Recognition yeah. of
those
anything.
Kind exist in the medical field. I get it. I understand. All right. So moving on from that, over your left shoulder, you have, is that a book or a DVD or something that says I'm possible?
Yeah, absolutely. I've written two books.
I want to hear this.
I've got more on the shelves ready to print.
Good.
It's one of my greatest accomplishments, Drew, because in sixth grade in English, I got a D minus.
Okay.
And in high school, my English teacher told me I'd never write a comprehensive sentence in my life.
I can't believe they say that. And look what you've done.
I know. But the thing is, Drew, is my freshman year in college, all that was validated on day one when I wrote a paragraph. And then day two, they called six of us out of 300 to the back of the auditorium. I go bounding back to the back of the auditorium. I'm like, what did I win? They're like, you want a date with the remedial English teacher? I'm like, well, what does that mean? Like, that's why you need it.
I love it.
Bless that teacher. He taught me how to extract my voice.
That's
on
great.
Paper and,
beautiful.
And be able to express the song and the other things inside my soul there. And so after the 2004 Paralympic Games, I'm like, how did I get here? How did I get here? How did I become one of the youngest trust managers to work at the bank? How did I find a wife that everyone told me I wasn't going to?
Wow.
And I always say that the doctor's game is 0% chance of walking, 0% chance of having kids. It's the first function to go, last to come back. Some of the experts told me I'd never get married, not because of my wheelchair, but just because of who I am. My wife and I are celebrating 27 years in July. And we have
Congratulations.
Four beautiful biological kids. And
I love this.
Yeah.
Love it. So like, yes.
How did I
get love it.
Here?
How did you get there? Wow.
How did I get here? Because here's a guy from Cache Valley, who grew up with none of these opportunities that everyone's talking about and whatnot. And I'm like, how did I get here? And then in 2005, after the Paralympics, I'm like, it came as a divine download. It's like, here's the steps. Here's the gold nuggets to help people chase down their dreams. Yeah. Here's the steps that helped you become, that collegiate football player that got to play two downs, that helped
you get
to the Paralympics, that helped you get married, that helped you get kids when you're, you're paralyzed, that helped you do all these things. And so it just came. And one, I wrote down the outline.
Yeah.
One week I longhand wrote the first chapter, and then I went and typed it and corrected it the rest of the week. And the next week I wrote the next chapter. And so in 10 weeks I had it all complete.
Unbelievable. Yep. Yes.
And so unfortunately though, Drew, because of the programming that I had received for so many years, it took me 10 years to get the confidence to publish it, to print it.
You had it done.
Yeah.
And
2005.
you had it done in 05, and that final step was to get it published. So why do you think that you were held back from actually publishing it, although that hard work was done?
Oh, I had some heavy lifting to do between my head, you know,
my
that stinking
goodness.
Ink and it's used that programming. There's opposition to our optimism. And when we want to do something that we've been programmed to do, it's very, very difficult to break free, to get out of that rut, to climb out of the pot that the crabs are pulling you all down in.
Of course,
all those crabs are found within our mindset. And so for me, it was just, I was dealing with that. And finally, I got to the point where I'm like, why are you crying, dude? Why are you focusing on all the excuses? Why are you focusing on all the reasons why you can't do this? And just do it. Who cares if people are going to judge you? Who cares if people tell you that it's not that good? Who cares if people, you know, all these stories that I had been telling myself. And and so I'm like, you know what? Yeah, who cares?
Good for you.
I just did it.
See, that question, why are you crying, dude, is going to be a motivator for you for everything, man. So congratulations on the two that are out there and the others coming. When's the third one coming out?
You know, when there's a need.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
I'm like, it's written. And so that one's called You Are the Solution to Impossible. It's written. The other one is Why Are You Crying, Dude?
I love it. So what was the first one? Because I see the red.
First one's called I'm Possible, Desire, Dream, Do. It's the genesis of it. How one man chased after his dream, accomplished it, how it was taken away, and he discovers some flecks of gold that helps him and others dream new dreams and duplicate it. The other one's called Endless Possibilities, the 90-Day Recipe for World Record Results.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And in fact, those people who are still listening and still watching, if they want these books, if you go to my website at griffinmotivation.com, GRIFFIN, motivation, griffinmotivation.com, you go to the shop and you get the two books. If you get two books, the shipping is free. But if you put in the coupon code LOVE, LOVE, I will give you a little bit of love and knock off 50%.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Yeah, it was interesting because I was going to say that usually in the beginning before I hit record, I tell the audience I'm going to promote you and not have you self-promote. And I forgot to ask you. So there you go, folks. You have captured the essence of Jeff Griffin and you want to get in touch with him. Go onto his website and do what he said just now with the books. Absolutely. You know, Jeff, I could talk to you forever. Again, I want to thank you. And, you know, I do have two final questions I'd love to ask you.
Sure.
And I'm very curious of what your answers are going to be.
Yes.
You have the opportunity to sit down with young 7 to 10-year-old Jeff Griffin and give him advice about life. What would you tell him?
Yeah, 100%. I would remind him how powerful, how authentic, how lovable, and how playful he really is.
I love that.
And to listen, and to listen to that intuition. Intuition, the word intuition is inner teacher. And to tell him that he really does come from greatness, that he really does have the DNA of God within him. And that he does have the ability to achieve his dreams and desires if he'll trust in himself and trust in God that wants to co-create with him. And so that's what I just tell him is just, you know what, continue to be that powerful, authentic, lovable, and playful man that you are.
I love that. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. All right. So now we're going to switch hats. And now you're sitting down with young Jeff Griffin, the young entrepreneur, young businessman, and you've got some business advice to provide him. What would you tell him?
Jump.
Love it.
Jump. Just do it. Just do it. Capital D O, capital I T on the end of don't quit. Just don't quit. Do it. Do it. Just don't quit. And just jump. You know, I was speaking and I love what I did, but I couldn't do what I loved. And that was, I wanted to transform lives and continue to share this message with the world that, every minute we doubt it's possible, we give up 60 seconds in finding the solution. So every minute you doubt it's possible, you give up 60 seconds in finding your dream, to chasing down your dream, to developing that desire that matches up with your dream, that gives you that hope to keep on going, to, in spite of your setbacks, in spite of your challenges, in spite of your problems. And so, you know, I had received the message, the divine download from above, that you need to go and pursue this. Yeah. But I had a comfortable and consistent paycheck, which is the worst thing ever, is that complacency. And
exactly. That's true.
And so I've been wrestling with it because my wife was very comfortable. And I'm like, listen, I don't want to be like that Chris Farley guy, you know, a character where he's the motivational speaker that lives in the van down by the river.
Exactly.
He's like, I'm the motivational speaker. Yeah. I'm like, listen, if I don't make it, I can live on the street. I can live down the river in the van.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
But I'm not going to leave my family and my kids and my wife out on the streets. And so I was playing with that. And finally, my wife turned to me one night and she turned to me. She's like, Jeff, I know you're going to jump with or without me. And I want to let you know that I'm willing to jump.
Wow.
And so, you know, having that support is huge.
It is.
You know, resilience comes from four sources, and one of them is relational.
Yes.
And so my wife's, you know, belief in me.
That's beautiful.
And her resilience in me, you know, gave me the courage and, the signal and just the permission to just jump. So that's what I tell myself.
What's your wife's name, Jeff?
Her name's Emily.
Hey, Emily, thank you for supporting Jeff, because we all need him to be doing what he's doing. So, and you're part of this, Emily. So thank you for doing that. Jeff, you're a great man. Please keep doing what you're doing. You're an inspiration to me and everybody out there. And I hope that you and I still will keep in touch after this episode.
For sure. Absolutely. And again, like I said, Drew, thank you for letting me sit on your shoulders for these few minutes that we had with each other, and giving me an opportunity to shine light on what you're doing. Keep shining bright, brother.
I love it. I love it, brother. Hey, everybody out there, please follow your dreams and just do it. Jump. Take care, everybody.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe and give us a review to help others find it. I'd like you to answer this question. Are you living the life you want to live, or are you living the life others want you to live? I'd like you to think about that for a second. Because I strongly suggest you live the life you want to live. If you want to learn more about what I stand for and my services and how I'm able to help many men get out of their own way, please go to my website at www.profitcompassion.com. Feel free to also email me at drew@profitcompassion.com. I'd love to have a conversation with you. Take care of yourself and choose to write your own story, instead of letting others write it for you.